there is a concern about too big to fail in the sense that very large banks, very large organizations have political weight, and they seem to have economic weight that ensures that Congress will always come riding to the rescue. But we want to be careful about breaking banks up. Most of the banking failures in U.S. history have actually been the product of banks that have been too small and too localized. You know, pretty much every banking failure in the Great Depression.
Do you think that was part of what happened here? Should banks have been bigger?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, they're definitely getting bigger, which is to some extent bailing them out. I mean, how we're resolving the IndyMac situation is basically selling them off to another bank.
Right. This morning, you see WaMu.
WaMu, and I think who did I hear is going to buy them?
Taken over by the government, sold to JP Morgan and as a fire sale.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, and the bigger banks are, the more they're able to diversify across geography, to diversify across, various sectors of the economy, so that if there's a problem in one sector, the rest can hold it up. Whereas, again, returning to the Great Depression, when state regulations kept banks purposely very small, any bad harvest led to the bank failing and then to all sorts of economic hardship.
But this is all kind of shocking. In the middle of this, economic storm and political storm, you're saying, look, there's too much regulation about the credit agencies have too much regulation. The banks have too much regulation. Wall Street has too much regulation. And the solution is we should let them get bigger, let them regulate themselves, when most people on Main Street say that was the problem in the first place.
Well, again, there's a sense that whenever something bad happens, the government can and should come riding to the rescue. And we often have to dig deeper and dig into history to find out the real truth in the matter. The real truth of the matter, it appears to be that Freddie and Fannie, probably the two most carefully monitored businesses in the United States. I mean, the president gets to appoint members of their board, and they have to go before Congress, and they have their own personal private or their own personal regulator set up by the government. Appears to have driven the housing market toward very risky mortgages, and these instruments began to buckle under, and now that's why we're having a liquidity crisis.
So you don't. So I'm getting the sense that you don't support the bailout.
I'm very nervous about the bailout. The notion that $700 billion are basically put in the hands of the Treasury to use however they see fit, is very troubling. And that's being said by someone who has tremendous respect for Hank Paulson and tremendous respect for Ben Bernanke. I think they're very sharp men, but it really frightens me that we're trying to get this done and get this done in a matter of days when it's basically a commitment of one quarter. Of the equivalent of just about one quarter of the federal budget.
Well, you would think that maybe some free market folks would be on the ropes this week, but it doesn't appear that you are.
One of my colleagues here said he's going to, who's a lifelong teetotaler, said he's going to take up drinking if this keeps going on.
Well, Tom Fiery, thank you very much for joining us.
You bet. Take care.